The Prime Alliance is focused on the development of a new, open, public, and non-proprietary telecom solution that will support not only smart metering functionalities, but also progress toward the smart grid. Power line communication is the most suitable and natural technology to provide the needed telecoms performance, even in complex underground electricity grids.
Welcome to the Smart Energy International podcast, your guide to innovation and trends in the global power and energy sectors.
Hi, I'm Claire Falkveen, your host, and today we're going to be talking about the evolution to and from Prime 1.4 and the improved reliability, robustness, and frequency coverage that the new version delivers, as well as the interoperability brought to the table by Prime Plus. In order to keep communication channels operating at optimum levels, Prime Hybrid provides a combination of standardized PLC and RF IoT solutions to increase robustness. How will this increase flexibility to power the cities of the future, along with the water, gas, and power utilities of tomorrow? I'm joined by Prime Alliance members Christos Aslanidis from Renesas.
My name is Christos Aslanidis. I'm working for Renesas Electronics Europe. And I'm managing the Renesas business development team for connectivity solutions in the EMEA region. And when I put my Prime hat on, I'm a member of the board of directors of the Prime Alliance.
And Victor Dominguez from Arcosa.
My name is Victor Dominguez Richards. I am the CEO of Arcosa. Arcosa joined the Prime Alliance a year and so ago, and we are trying to be as active as we can in nearly every committee, as we think it's a fantastic platform.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Many thanks for your invitation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Christos, I am actually going to ask you, if I may, what is the Prime Alliance and why was it created?
Sure, yes. As you already mentioned in your introduction, this is an alliance that is focusing on development of open and public standards. This goes back into 2009 when the alliance was established. At the time, the topic of remote metering came up. And unfortunately, there was a lack of standards at that time. So Iberdrola at that time took the lead and the initiative to establish this alliance and to work on specifications to allow connectivity solution, in this particular case, power line communication, initially for the smart meter reading, but then the overall scope of the alliance is to fulfill requirements of smart grid applications. Today we have 65 members, and this is coming from all over the chain, like utilities, meter vendors, laboratories, system integrators, chip manufacturers. Overall, we have 123 products certified. There are 8 task forces today looking after the different aspects of the alliance, be it specification, be it evolution of the technology, be it new use cases, etc. And then looking from the installation perspective, already today, there are more than 20 million smart meters installed all over the world. And we have 32 utilities and associations using the Prime meters among those 20 million installed meters.
That's a significant amount of coverage that you have. Are you able to share sort of predominantly where in the world that coverage is spread?
I would say a predominant installation rate is in Spain, it's in South America, but also in other regions worldwide, which I probably can't name one by one right now, but the spread is really global.
Okay. Victor, perhaps then I could focus on you a little bit and ask, as a meter vendor, what has your experience been when it's come to implementing and rolling out Prime technology? And particularly from the point of view of the utilities that you have been working with?
Well, thank you very much. Just a point of clarification first. Arcosa is not really a meter vendor. Traditionally, we are mainly a services company. And when the utilities require meters or whatever other device, we can provide that. But we are mainly providing the services that they require to overcome the new challenges. It's all about that. And as you were saying, thank you for the question. We are based in Spain, headquartered in Seville. And for the last nearly 8 years, we've been working hand by hand closely to the utilities in this new adventure of moving from traditional to so-called smart meters, mainly in Spain and in Portugal, throughout the whole life cycle. So rolling out, operating, maintaining smart metering systems, mainly prime-based. The main lesson that we have learned is that this is all about transformation, nearly revolution in this sector. And the major transformation will arise from moving this traditional to prime metering is the fact that together with the metering infrastructure itself, and the meters themselves, we have been rolling out a complex, heterogeneous, and geographically vast telecommunications network. And I would say a complex one. So planning and executing prime rollouts must take this into account, this fact. If you do it, then we can end up with a fully functioning smart metering system from day one after the rollout. But of course, taking this into account means that you have to change the way you roll out. You have to change the procedures. And regretfully, this was not always the case at the very beginning. I remember that, you know, the main drivers, the main goals was the percentage of meters installed. You had to reach 80% by a given date. So you had a lot of people running out in the streets and, you know, just installing meters as if they were the traditional meters. And then you ended up discovering that you had rolled out a telecoms network that was not working. Yeah. The coverage was not good, you had problems, issues. That's the main lesson. So we have to take this into account. We have to plan, we have to execute these rollouts, really thinking that we're deploying a telecoms network and the systems that are related to them and their integration of those systems with the existing systems and utility.
Christos, what is the technology solution to, for instance, some of the things that Victor's just mentioned?
I mean, it's all about coverage and reachability of meters at the end, right? So, and Victor is absolutely right. The installation process and logistics are integral part of the overall installation. But then also, if this is done, usually the experience we've made in the past, you might reach a coverage of maybe 98, 99%, but there is 1% that is always missing. One thought is to cover even this 1% that is missing in terms of coverage. And one way of doing it is to, for example, introduce hybrid technologies. So for hybrid technologies, this is now under discussion in the Prime Alliance. And there are several use cases. And one use case is, for example, to have this as backup solution. So how does this work? You have one network, traditionally, where you have all the nodes or meters that are communicating over power line solution. Now, in this particular case, introducing hybrid solution, this means that every link between two nodes can either be a PLC link or an RF link. And this makes the difference. Because you have a backup solution, you can see if there is a line between two nodes that is not working on PLC, you can switch to RF seamlessly. And all this is happening in a single logical network. And this is what makes the complete idea very attractive. So from the installation perspective, this doesn't make any difference because the application itself is accessing in the same way. So it's rather seamless how the meter communicates into the network. So it's a question of evolution, and hybrid technology is addressing those topics. And specification has been finalized. And this is now working on the certification test cases and things like that to make sure that those kind of solutions can be certified very soon. If I may add one other use case, for example, what else you could do is, for example, using an electricity network and read out gas and water meters. by having introduced RF technology. As you can imagine, you cannot connect power line to the gas meters or to the water meters, but then having RF running on those meters, they could be integrated in a single network, which is another interesting use case, actually.
I suppose it also means that it's significantly more financially palatable to a utility because they're not having to develop too many separate networks. Sure. Just going back slightly to what Victor said about the preparation, you know, it just reminded me of something that you said the other day, and that was that the installation process is not going to be solved by the standard. And Victor, I just wanted to find out, when it comes to that sort of installation process, is there anything that you would particularly like to highlight in terms of perhaps the preparation or just why it is so important?
Of course, yes. But if I may, I would just like to jump in a little bit on the previous message that Christos was delivering, because, you know, I'm a technical guy. I have a very strong technical background. Like, I started myself in power line microelectronics, like, 15 years ago. So it's something that I really love. I like it very much. And I have some opinion and also some learning there. So I'm all about new technologies and I really love them. And there's a good justification for it. It improves coverage, reachability. Hybrid technologies are just going to be good for so many things. This that Christos has mentioned, and, you know, many, many more use cases. And I just want to also bringing the idea that there's a price to pay with these new, more complex technologies, not from the cost point of view, and I want to make very clear that whatever that price is, it really pays back very much if you compare it to the cost of non-coverage. So I have no doubt about that. But they include some more complexity that you have to take into account when you operate them. So if you have two or three channels to consider when reaching some devices, you have to consider that when you're managing the network. And if you don't take that into account again, and you just roll out these new technologies, you'll end up having issues when you have to operate and maintain the network. So just keep in mind the big picture. And coming back, and sorry for just popping in, but I thought that I wanted to...
I think it's a really valid point that you've raised.
And then coming back to the planning, I like to say that it's not that we are inventing new things here. You know, many, many telecoms networks have been rolled out and deployed throughout the years. So it's using all that experience and knowledge when deploying telecoms network now here in the electricity sector. So yes, you have to plan. There's planning procedures, there's planning tools. There is, and not only from the systems point of view, but also from the field operations point of view, coverage is very important, but you should not monitor coverage from the first day rolling out, because it doesn't make sense to do that if you don't have the concentrators in place, for instance. So yeah, there's a lot of lessons learned there. Use what has been used in the telecoms in the past. That's what we're doing in Arcosa. We have brought together, you know, the telecoms know-how and the electricity sector's know-how to provide these services. And yeah, just to give one point of advice, maybe, don't think this is only about the meter itself, or not even the meter and the concentrator. There's many other elements around the deployment: meters, concentrators, routers, security, backend services. And all this has to be take into account when planning a proper rollout that has to be successful from day one.
And perhaps then you could expand on how Prime version 1.4 has helped address some of the things that you have mentioned as opposed to version 1.3.
This is a fantastic step forward. Many of the important issues and lessons we learned from the first rollouts, as Christos was saying, mainly coverage, reachability, quality of the communications, have been addressed with 1.4, and also security. 1.4 will bring all of that. It's a great idea as technology. You know, we're still in the pilot phase, and we are trialing it. The initial discoveries are promising, I have to say that. I would also like to repeat more or less the message I just given with the hybrid tech. It's a new tech, it's more complex, it uses more frequencies, it has channeling. So you have to manage and operate it. It's not just about replacing a 1.3 meter with a 1.4 meter. That will not give you all advantages. You have to know how to manage it.
Christos, perhaps then you could, slightly away from the topic of Prime specifically and more generally, to the importance of open standards and interoperability.
Actually, this is the point that an alliance is all about. And the major point here is to kind of avoid particular dependencies and as a result of that, to reduce the risk of the investments. And the point here really is, having interoperable solutions at all levels. And here, I'm talking here about chip makers as Renesas or as meter makers or system integrators, etc. But this doesn't matter. But a utility in an installation needs to be able to install meters from any manufacturer without differentiating between them. And the requirement for that is interoperability. And this is the value of an alliance, right? Because the standards that are defined are not proprietary. They're open. They're accessible from every participant of this market. So there are no proprietary technologies. Another impact here is the market creation itself. Just imagine there would have been, tens of proprietary technologies and everyone would use a different technology. This would mean each market would be much smaller than it is today. So if you have a driving force behind all that, which in this particular case, in the case of the alliance, this was Iberdrola who took the initiative here. But in the same time, Iberdrola had was offering a huge market. So it was interesting for everyone to enter into this alliance. And then going from there, the market was increased because many utility participated to the alliance. Many utilities adopted this solution as well. And then overall, this has an impact on the cost as well. Then the bigger the market is, the lower the cost is at the end, at all levels, at the meter level, at the chip level, etc. So all this makes such an alliance as the Prime Alliance very attractive for all participants.
And how does Prime Plus play into all of this?
Well, Prime Plus is another the level. So this plies into interoperability, right? Because you have several levels in such a communication stack. And the importance here is to offer interoperability up to the highest level. So far, the Prime Alliance was covering the specification for the communication part up to a certain level. But Prime Plus now goes higher into this communication stack and as such adds to the interoperability of a solution by introducing, for example, objects, a meter as an object, and how those objects have to communicate with each other.
Victor, any comments?
Standards interoperability, when you're talking about telecoms, is an absolute must. There's no way you're going to have any level of success in any type of business related to telecoms and there are no proper open standards in place that are embraced by industry and you have multi-source. And having said that, Prime, as Christos was so very well saying, was created with this in mind, is really a success story when it comes down to this requirement. I also want to also say clearly that it's not a simple matter to address because it's all about investments and return on investment. And there's a very important upfront investments that are required from technology and systems providers to have this in place. And we should not underestimate this. So the point of marketer reachability and availability, Iberdrola in this case, supporting it and many other utilities now is very important also. It's not about to do or not to do, to standardize or not to standardize, or to open or not to open. It's all about when to do it, the appropriate moment. So it makes sense for the investments.
I suppose that also then feeds back into what Christos was saying about the development of a market is a lot easier when you have a lot of people that are aiming at a similar objective. And it also, I guess, then makes that investment look a lot less like a gamble.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way a customer is going to commit investments if there's no clear multi-sourcing and the provisioning channels. They can do trials and pilots, but look around any other communications technology or business has flourished when there's been appropriate standards in place. And these can come from different types of bodies around the world, but you need it to be embraced by industry. And then you have bodies like Prime that can get right into the standards. And sometimes it happens, like in this case, but they're always necessary to build up on the interoperability tests and on the certification platforms and all those other things that are very much required and normally standards bodies will not do. So Prime is doing all of this together, which is really impressive.
If I might add an example here about the importance of this, right? You know, just a completely different market. You know, today we are taking for a given that if we go somewhere, we can pay with a credit card. And the fact that this credit card has everywhere the same size and you can use any card reader and things like that is not just happened by chance. Just imagine, you know, everyone would have a different size credit card, different readers, you know, and all this infrastructure that is behind. Can you imagine what this would add in terms of cost for this kind of infrastructure? And it's no different in this particular case.
You know, I have never thought about it like that. If I'm perfectly honest, you know, when people talk about standards, it sometimes comes across as being a little bit boring, but you have just raised probably one of the most important points. This is like a real light bulb moment for me, but you're right. I mean, the thing is, so many of the things that we as consumers take for granted, especially in our global market, are only like that because of the fact that somebody thought to standardize everything. So yeah, major respect to all the standards bodies out there from me.
You have a completely different view now, right?
I do. I'm a fan.
It's all around us, from screws to anything you can think about. And it's really a very particular organization, these type standardization bodies, because if you think about it, it's bringing together the same table companies that at the end of the day want to compete, to agree on having common specifications and common ways to do things. So it's really important effort and bringing investments together and having parties agreeing to make a market bigger for all of them together. And if I make clear, you really have to dig into this because it's not about only the documents and the standards. It's about the investments behind intellectual property, innovation. So there are a lot of things that revolve around standardization and markets that are really making many things in our world really roll and work.
I've got so many thoughts sort of running through my mind at the moment, just in terms of how this works. I mean, do you have an example that you could give to kind of expand on this?
Oof, there's so many. I'll just give you a personal example. So back in 1996, I decided to create a company that was a technology company, design of systems on silicon, DS2. That was a technology company, microelectronics, and we worked on power line. Basically, we invented BPL at that moment of time. So small company, innovation, we had to standardize because we had to sell chipsets around the world. We needed second sources. We wanted to sell this to equipment providers. It was very tough. Very tough because you have first to explain to the world what the new technology is, the advantages. You have to make the heavy investments upfront to develop all of this. You have to align the market so every piece is in place. Then you have to go to the standard bodies and agree with your competitors and the specifications, share intellectual property so everybody, you know, can do things in the way that they're going to work together. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the story, you can produce a lot and sell, you know? And that's where the return comes. And that's an example that is very much related to the discussion today, because that was the example of BPL that isn't somehow related to Prime also.
Well then, you know, maybe I can take this perhaps just a little bit back toward the alliance. And Christos, both you and Victor are approaching the sector from different perspectives, but if I could ask you then, I mean, what is for you the benefit of being part of the Prime Alliance?
I mean, this is what we already mentioned before, right? The benefit of being part of the Prime Alliance is the fact that, you know, if you want a market, it's created via an alliance. So you have a market there. Someone is helping you to create a market, so you don't have to do this on your own. And as such, you're not taking the risk to invest into proprietary technology that might not fly. So again, this is all about reducing risks for your investments to avoid dependencies. Obviously, there is another factor, which is the pleasure to work on new technologies, to think about new use cases in the future, to find solutions for problems that might appear in the future and all this, right? So this is the other side of this, to, you know, to have visions and try to make them reality.
Have you got any examples from a Renesas perspective that you could perhaps share?
Oh, yeah, I have a very good example. We started even before all those alliances were active. We started with a proprietary power line communication technology. And at that time, it was a proprietary technology. And we tried to create a market for that. We were partially successful. But this finally, at the end, did not get a completely open, let's say, global standard, right? It is in use somewhere in the world, but it's different. So we had the experience from both perspectives, from the perspective of trying to establish a proprietary technology, and then from there, changing to an open standard and see what benefits you get from this. So we went through both, and obviously open standards, open market, it's much more attractive.
And I suppose as well, Victor, for the utility, it makes a big difference when there is an alliance operating within your sector, because it means that there's less likelihood of a vendor lock-in, continued support, because you're not just relying on one vendor to provide a technology. I mean, for you, besides the things that Christos has mentioned, what are the other benefits for you of being part of the alliance?
Oh, many, Claire. Thank you for that. I mean, because Prime is not just about standards. I mean, it's one of the main objectives, and it's done a fantastic work there, but it's much more. It's a real platform bringing many players from different places in the value chain together. And that for us is really fantastic. We really gain from being represented there and being present and taking part in the discussions and getting to know everybody and everybody to know us. That's already an advantage. It's a fantastic platform, you know, to foster the required transformations that we just talked about in the sector. You have to transform the technology, yes, but also the ecosystems themselves, the value chains, the business models. And in a traditional standard body, that would not happen. Those discussions would not take place. In the Prime Alliance, you can talk about that because all different players are there, and you can build up these new ecosystems and talk about maybe new business models. The Prime Alliance is a fantastic platform to do that. And I have to say it's led and managed by outstanding representatives of the industry that really makes it so powerful. So, you know, if anybody that's not a member of the Prime Alliance is listening to this, you should join. I mean, it's great to bring many advantages. And I have no stake there, you know, it's just an honest piece of advice.
No,
not to forget sharing experiences as well, right? So we are talking about new technologies that are installed somewhere. Someone needs to take the lead, but at some point, you know, other people want to join. So they want to share experiences. How did it work here? How did it work there? How was, you know, when issues came up, how did they got fixed and all this? So it's a community. It's a community. Mm-hmm. Victor is completely right.
Perhaps if I could then take a little bit of a step back in time and ask both of you here to give me some insight into what has changed over the past decade. And I realize that is a very broad question, but, you know, with regards to your position in the sector, what has changed over the past 10 years? Christos, why don't you start?
If you go 30, 40 years back, we had simply meters that were just counting energy. So we had a closed system, right? So someone would go out there, would install a meter, would not have to take care about, you know, infrastructure and communication and things like that. So the meter would be installed. Someone would come to read out the meter once per year or once per month, and this was it. Now, at some point, it was started to integrate more intelligence. So we had intelligent meters. So you could set tariffs and things like that, multi-tariff meters. So the meters started to become intelligent. But I would like to differentiate intelligent meters and smart meters. Mm-hmm. So today we are talking about smart meters, and the component that makes meters smart is the communication. And this makes the difference. Whilst it gives you the chance, I mean, smart, making equipment smart, it's nothing else than trying to get data, analyze the data, act according to the data, communicate the data somewhere else, analyze, and all this. But this has changed the complete infrastructure completely, because this factor now, once you're going out there and install a meter, you need to make sure that, you know, this meter can communicate. It's more than installing the meter. It's the complete infrastructure, as Victor said before. You have to take care about the maintenance of the complete network, of the back-end system, and all the components that do add up to such an infrastructure. And exactly that makes the difference. So everything is getting much more complex compared to what it was before. Mm-hmm. So another dimension has been added to all this.
That doesn't just sort of impact your technology and the network, but it probably has a direct impact on your staff, on your asset management.
Everything.
Yeah, the processes that you utilize.
Of course. Yeah, it has impact to everything. You know, you have completely different processes when we are talking about this installation, or even the planning, the logistics that are behind are completely different. The preparation work, the corporations with other companies, the business models, it's completely different compared to before. Mm-hmm. You know, in former times, you got a specification from a utility, you had to develop a meter according to this specification, and this was it. You could install the meter.
Transformation, this is what we're talking about. It's a huge transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. Well, Arcosa, it means everything. I mean, Arcosa will not exist if this transformation over the past decade it was not happening, because our whole business focus is about what is needed to overcome the new challenges. So for us, it means everything. And it's so revolutionary, as if you were coming here to ask us what has changed from telephony over the last decade, moving from fixed line to mobile phones, you know, phones that were only making calls with a fixed line. And now you have a smartphone that does so many things. And yes, also, it also places phone calls, but, you know, so many other things. That's what we're doing right now. We're moving from a piece of device that was mechanical and was measuring energy, and that was it, to a new piece of device that's a router, a small computer. And yes, it also measures energy, but it's a complete change of everything. And the same way that you're updating your apps and your firmware and your phone time to time, and you're getting used to that, you'll have to update your firmware and the meters from time to time because of so many things. So it's a huge change, and we're living it. And all this has a reason. Of course, it's complex. It has its price to pay with regards to operation, maintenance, so many other things, but increases so much the benefits you take out from the data, the use cases, the customers' benefits, that it makes a lot of sense. Mm. And this is just the tip of it. So much to come.
Well, if you think that was a difficult question, I am going to end this conversation with one that perhaps is even more difficult, and that is, what's next? Victor, maybe you can give some insight into what you think.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for killing me with this one. what's next? Not easy to foresee, of course. We're just at the beginning of the revolution. I know it's been nearly 10 years. For our course, it's been 8 years, but in reality, we are still at the beginning. If you look at the evolution of telecoms from the analog copper wires to where we are now, it takes decades to get to the full exploit of what can be done. So if you have that piece of experience, you know we're at the beginning. From our side of things, I have to say maybe that we are very advanced with applying artificial intelligence to our analytics platform, to our field operations platform. So the operations and energy related predictability that we are now capable of doing are the big thing for us coming up. But that's from our side of things. There's so many other parts in the value chain that are evolving that will bring new things on the table.
Thanks very much. And Christos, from your perspective?
If I try to look to that in a more abstract way, and if I do see how things evolved over the last decades, in case of communication, at the end of the day, it will be more data that need to be transferred and processed, and it will be the speed. So what will be required at the end of the day will be low latency times. So real time will get important in the future. Obviously, it depends always on the applications and on the use cases where this is. So if you have a meter that you read out once per month, so real time is not an important thing. But if you think about distribution automation or the smart grid overall, that might get important, or there it will get important for sure. Then we are talking about other use cases, electrical vehicle charging, things like that. I've even heard, I don't know how realistic this is, people, you know, when you're charging your car, they want to transfer commercials into your car via this cable, you know. I have heard that, really. Really. So, it's just all is visions, right? And there is no limit to visions. That's right. Yeah. But if you want to bring it to the point, it's data and speed. And actually, the Alliance is going the next step there in this direction, if I may refer to that. So, because BPL now is also part of something the Alliance has started to work on, broadband communication. So it's speed, it's, more data that is required for different kinds of applications.
It sounds like that is potentially a whole nother discussion for us to be having. And it's certainly one that I look forward to taking part in.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll have to follow up on this then a little bit later on in the year. Christos, Victor, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for all of the incredible insights that you've brought in terms of interoperability and for being the inspiration for my newfound respect and the hero status of the standards bodies in my life. And from us here at Smart Energy International, I wanted to just take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year. This is our first podcast of 2021, and thank you so much for beginning the year with us. This episode was brought to you in partnership with the Prime Alliance, and for more podcasts, you can visit the Smart Energy International website at smart-energy.com. Please be sure to tune in again soon for more conversations and insights into the things that really matter to our industry. Until next time, I'm Claire Falkvane, and you've been listening to the Smart Energy International podcast.